It's a new year, and with it being a new year, it's time to make some plans. And R&IB are encouraging all of us to get involved with audio description and perhaps go and see some productions that utilise audio description, which is an audio line that describes part of the action that you would miss if you don't have very good sight, or any sight indeed. And Vida Hjarding, he loves going to audio described productions and has actually been to see Sleeping Beauty. Hello there.
I have indeed. Happy New Year to you, Simon, and all your listeners and everyone at Connect Radio, if it's not too late to say that on the 11th of January. hope you've all had a good break. So yes, Sleeping Beauty, the pantomime, this year's pantomime at the Wolverhampton Grand. Many pantomimes, many family Christmas shows, not just pantomimes all over the country over the last few weeks, and indeed ongoing very much through January in many cases as well. And Sleeping Beauty, where with Debbie McGee from Strictly fame and Sooty, people of a certain generation will no doubt remember Sooty. Doreen Tipton, West Midlands' very acclaimed comedian, and good lineup, good story, and Anne Hornsby, who does so many of the audio descriptions at the Grand, she was on hand to help bring it to life through her live AD.
We kind of know the story of Sleeping Beauty, but going at this from your angle, was there a touch tour with this production?
Was a touch tour. So we went on stage, and Anne and Remy Lloyd, who's currently covering the access role at the theatre, they took us on the stage, visually impaired patrons, their companions, members of the family, etc. And we had a look at some of the costumes, some of the outrageous costumes. Panto brings that out, particularly in the Dame characters. And they were, let's say they lived up to expectations. I'm sure that they're completely over the top, but amazing, really. We also had a look at the spinning wheel. The spinning wheel has quite an important part in making Sleeping Beauty live up to her title, as in Sleeping Beauty, of course, without giving too much away. So, yeah, looking at some of the props. So there was a touch to her, and again, that just all helps to give you a bit of a context for what is happening on the stage. Just actually, you know, standing on a stage in a venue gives you a sense of perspective, even if you can't necessarily see anything or very much at all. You can at least get an idea of how big or otherwise it is and look out onto the auditorium, you know, inspect close up the set and indeed some of the props along the lines that I've just described that we did. So I think that's always useful contextually as much as anything else.
And can you sense then that the size, does it sound different when you're up there on the stage?
It is. And on this occasion, actually, and I don't think, and I've been to the Grand on a number of occasions, as you and listeners may recall, and I don't think in the past I've ever been on a touch tour where the metal safety curtain was down. So there wasn't actually a chance to look out into the auditorium. And I guess, yes, the sound is different in different situations. And, you know, with no audience in, it seems quite an empty place. Clearly, when the actors come on, happily for them, there is a big audience and it's very different. But yeah, all of that, I think, adds to the experience, definitely.
And it's a story that we've grown up with, most of us, and does that feed into the enjoyment of a production like that, especially when you've got audio description adding to it?
I think so. I mean, yes, as you say, Simon, most people, I think, are familiar with most of the fairy tales that become the subject of pantomime at this time of the year, and Sleeping Beauty was no change. I didn't think there was anything that I hadn't expected or that was, you know, completely different to what I had been led to believe would happen. That said, even though, yes, you will understand the story and it's all, you know, in terms of the actual storyline, it's pretty straightforward to follow without audio description. A lot of things that happen on stage, particularly some of the humorous elements, are visual. And audio description comes into its own of people sort of flying through the air or people wearing particular outrageous costumes or, you know, people sort of with a particular facial expression or whatever it happens to be. All of that you want to be able to share in the humor of and enjoy the comedy of at the same time as everyone else in the theater. And the skill of people like Anne, and Anne's a very accomplished professional audio describer and indeed a regular guest on your program, she makes sure that you can indeed enjoy that humor just at the right moment when you you know, can laugh at the same time as others, if that's what you choose to do. So all of that, very skillful. And I guess probably, I imagine, and maybe you'd need an audio describer to confirm this, but pantomime must be one of the most challenging forms of live theatre for anyone to describe, because obviously some of it, you know, doesn't always follow the script, and there's a lot of ad-libbing, and therefore people describing have got to think on their feet and be ready for, you know, a split-second change or whatever it happens to be. So that all worked very well. Anne did a great job. The audio describer sits in a little room under the stage watching a monitor and things, and sometimes has to battle with the live music, which can be very loud. All of that, though, worked very well, and easy to adjust your volume. And good that the theatre sort of reminds you of how to do that, checks that you know how to use the headsets. And they have a couple of different types of headset, which is always worth exploring in case one or other is one that you find easier to use than the other one.
Pantomime is traditionally a kind of interactive performance. Does the audio description help with that?
Yes, and it's a good point that you raised, actually, Simon, because I was going to bring that up. And Anne is very good at sort of when, you know, the characters might on the stage say something about, oh, no, it isn't, and the audience has got to post with, oh, yes, it is, and all those sort of traditional things that are time-honored in panto circles, you know, it's behind you and all of those things. Again, if you've not been before, if you're not necessarily sure of the format, it's really helpful to have someone in your set sort of almost leading you with that, oh, yes, it is, and Anne was doing a bit of that as well. So that all helps, and I think puts, or hopefully puts people at their ease and makes them feel very much part of it, because it is an audience participation show.
So we'd like you to have a think about this year, and we're encouraging everybody to try and dip into this. We've got a whole year ahead of us.
We have. So we'll hopefully talk a little bit more this month about one or two different type of Christmas shows, but we'll also be going to Stratford with a bit of luck to look at a couple of their performances. But yeah, there are different shows at so many venues now across the theatre world within and around the UK. And we really do want to encourage people, as you say, Simon, to dip their toe in the water, so to speak. If they haven't already ever been to one, give it a whirl. Go and talk to your theatre, ring up the box office, see what they've got coming up, and see if it works for you. And hopefully it might, and it might just encourage you to, you know, maybe do more live performances, because you can get this extra dimension at no extra cost.
You always make it sound very attractive, Vidar, and it is a great opportunity for blind and partially sighted people to get fully engaged with the arts. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, and great to talk to you, and hopefully we will carry on in a week or so talking about some other seasonal entertainment which has been audio described.
Well, I better let you get back to your hard work.
Thank you, Simon. Take care.